They are thankful that the Lord's given us another opportunity to be back to his house tonight. And I was just thinking a while ago, I couldn't remember which one of the tent meetings, but I think one of the tent meetings we went to Wednesday night of the second week. I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure we did. And the Lord blessed us in doing that. We went about 3 years there, and we did about 5 tent meetings a year. And there was a couple of years there, we had about 7 or 8 get saved during the summer each summer. And that definitely a blessing. The first time we had some of them start getting saved that year that they got saved, none of them joined the church. But the next time they did, some of them joined the church, come over and joined the church that time. And it was definitely a blessing. I'd ask you to pray for Philip Turner and Pappy is what we call him over there. They was faithful to come to those tent meetings, a lot of them. Let me just tell you, the first one we had was over there in Philip's yard, and I just hope that the two of them can find the Lord if they don't know him already. I'm going to start tonight verse in Matthew 5, and we want you to pray for us. We had a thought this morning, and on the way home, I don't think that's it. So me and the Lord had a little talk on that drive home this afternoon, and he moved us around to this and give us a thought that we need to bring out. I'm over here in the Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes in particular. And I'm going to take, I'll tell you that I believe that the Beatitudes here are more than just good sayings. I believe he put them all together here for a reason. And I believe that reason for us as the children of God is this is a way for you to climb to a higher level of spirituality. Let me just tell you. And if you start with the first one and work your way up, as you get up towards the top, they get tougher. And let me tell you something, the harder you work to climb the spiritual ladder here, the better spiritual you'll be and the better warrior you'll be for the Lord. But we're going to start with, we're going to use this just one of them here. In the 6th verse here, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now my comment, or I don't know you would call this a title, but actually I'm going to ask you a question tonight. If you're here, and this is not just for the lost, but it's directed at the lost, are you thirsty tonight? So that one said, blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We want to go over to John 4. This is something we've hit all around all week. But we have here the well-known story of the woman at the well. But I want you to keep that thought in your mind. Are you thirsty tonight? It says here that when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed into Galilee, and he must go through Samaria. You see, the Lord had a need to go through Samaria. There was a person there that he needed to talk to. And I pray tonight, if you're here, that you realize that I believe tonight that the Lord is here. I believe he's passing through here tonight. And if you don't know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, I would advise you that you better take advantage of it. Because we don't ever know when he may not pass by you again, let me just tell you. And it says here, then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave unto his son Joseph. Now Joseph's well was there, and Jesus therefore, being weary of his journey, sat there on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There cometh a woman from Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Jesus was thirsty here, you see. He had a physical thirst that he asked this woman to take care of here. And this right here, I want you to know, as I said something about this the other night, this is a very unusual thing for a Jew to talk to the Samaritan, because the Jews didn't, they despised these people. They were a mixed race of people, and they didn't like to have any dealings with them. And what does he say? It says, and it talks about his disciples, they'd gone away to buy meat. You see, all this is orchestrated. They're gone. They would have had a problem with this. But he sent them away to buy food for them. It says, then said the woman, the Samaritan, to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. And you can go over to Acts whenever Peter gets the Lord reveals to him that he needs to go and prepares him to go to Cornelius. We need to not call the people in this world the ones that that we need to go to is like Jesus did, the ones that are not necessarily the ones that are high up in society. Let me just tell you, the rich are harder to convert than those that don't have it so well. You know, and I would even say this, that we may shun a lot of people, but we shouldn't. The ones that are drunkards and the ones that are on drugs and different stuff, that's fertile ground for the gospel a lot of the time. And let me tell you children something. I meant to say this the other day, and obviously they didn't need to. Let me tell you something about this world. You get out into this world, and several people have told you this week. But let me tell you how this world is. You go out there and you can have a big time for a short period of time. This world will chew you up and spit you out. Whenever they've used you up to ever anything that you can offer them, and you're no good to them anymore, they'll kick you to the side of the road. Let me just tell you, that's the way the world is. This woman here, she said, "You don't have any dealings with the Samaritans. What's a Jew doing talking to me?" And Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me a drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Let me tell you something, sinner friend. If you're here tonight, that's what you need to ask for tonight. You need to be asking for a drink of this living water, let me just tell you. I want you to know that Jesus has plenty of this living water. And in fact, Lord willing, we'll go over there and show you where it comes from, I believe. But he's talking to this woman here, and he tells her, "I've got water that you can drink." She goes on, and she's thinking carnally here. Let me tell you something. You need to quit thinking carnally. If you're lost, you need to start speaking spiritually. You say the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, and neither can be. You can't get there with your mind. And if you're trying to figure it out, you're not going to figure it out. There's no way for us to comprehend why God, that has the power to make everything that you see from nothing, would even comprehend sending his son down here to die for a bunch of sinners that broke his law. That's beyond our comprehension. But let me tell you something. You think about this and all the things that happened. You say, "Well, why did God let this happen?" Well, he made Adam and Eve over there, and he made them where that they was capable of keeping his law or breaking his law. And they chose to break his law. Now, he knew what they were going to do, but he didn't make them do it. He gave them free will. Amen. Now, whenever they broke his law, he gave them the solution. Now, I want to tell you this. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not. But you know, God, if we're this away, let me just say this about us. You ever have anybody tell you that they love you, and they tell you they love you, and they tell you they love you, but they don't ever show it? How much more could God show it than sending his son to die on the cross for us. How much more could he show it? Not, I mean, if it was one of us, like I read to you, I believe it was yesterday, like the love that he had for us. But he's God. He's so much higher. The offering is so great that how could he do anything more to show us how much he loved us? That he would die and suffer. Jesus, he was there in pain. He had the power to strike every one of them dead there that day. He had the power to pull himself off of that cross if he wanted to and heal himself. Right there, he healed many of the people while he walked through this world. But I'm going to tell you that what held him on that cross was not those spikes, but it was his love held him on that cross. Sinner friend, he held himself on that cross and withheld the power that he had to take himself off of that cross because he loved us, let me just tell you. How much more, why can you manifest your love than that? Not only just a man giving his life for another, but a God-man giving his life for another and for the whole world. What do you say here? The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this that living water? Still thinking carnally. Sinner friend, one of the reasons you're still lost is because you're thinking carnal. I'll tell you, when you let go of the carnal and grab a hold of the spiritual, you're getting there. And as long as you hold on to the carnal, trying to figure it out and different stuff, you're not going to figure it out. I don't have it figured out, let me just tell you. And I'm a long ways past the day that he saved my soul. You see, what did I do to get saved that night? I surrendered. I surrendered. I didn't give up. I surrendered. There is a difference, you see. I surrendered that I could do it. That's what our problem is. You see, that's what the problem was over in the garden. Whenever they sin, they try to sew fig leaves together. It couldn't do it. Why? It wasn't worthy of doing it. God had to kill an animal over there and clothe them. And that's what you need. And Jesus is it. It says, art thou greater than our Father? Art thou greater than our Father which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. Are you thirsty tonight? But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Have you seen the water spring up a little bit this week? I believe we've had it spring up a little bit. As I was thinking, I believe it was last Monday night, it sprung up a little bit, didn't it, Jeff? Oh, yeah, it sprung up a little bit. Jeff's cup runneth over. Let me just tell you, there's some more of you. Your cups have run over this week. Sinner friend, you can have that water, let me just tell you, and it'll be in your well water, springing up to everlasting life. And if you'll keep close to God, it'll keep flowing out, and the sin won't take it and bother you as much. You'll be able to keep it under control. I didn't say you'd be able to avoid it at all times. But he told her, he said, I have this, it'll spring up into everlasting life for you. Woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She's still thinking carnal, let me just tell you. I want to taste this water. I have to, you see, she come there undoubtedly probably every day because they had to have water. See, they didn't have a faucet to turn on like we have today. When they wanted water, they had to take the bucket and go draw the water out of the well and had to carry it back to their house. That's the water they had. If I get this water, I won't have to dig this trip to be able to get water anymore. And Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. She's got a desire to have what he's offering, but he needs to point out something that she needs to tell him about. He knows your heart. He knows your heart. He knows exactly what's between you and him. He knows what you need to repent of. Anything that you have above him, you need to repent of. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. husband? Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou sayest truly. She's confessed to him. He knew what she'd done wrong. He asked her a question, and she freely confesses that I've had five husbands, and the man, you know, I don't have no husband. One she was living with wasn't even considered her husband. And Jesus tells her, knows her heart. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Let me tell you something. She perceived that he was a prophet, but he was much more than a prophet. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me that the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain or yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. There's coming a time when worship in this land is going to end. Let me just tell you. He's telling her that there's fixing to be a change, and that change is going to be brought about by what I preached to you the other night, what they did to the Lord, the Jews, when they said that Jesus' sin be upon them and their children. Let me tell you something. In 70 AD, I believe it was Titus, was the Roman general that besieged Jerusalem, and just like Jesus had predicted in the 24th chapter of Matthew there, he come down and he surrounded the city. But if you read the 24th chapter, the Lord told them, when you see this, when you see them come past Jerusalem, then what you need to do is don't take any time to grab anything. What you need to do is flee. But what happened is the general pulled back, and there was a little opportunity there for them to escape. And the ones that paid attention to what the Lord said, hey, he's answering three questions in the 24th chapter of Matthew. And he told them, he said, when you see this, get out. Flee. Don't grab anything. Don't take time to go in. Get out. And whenever the general pulled back the Roman army, the ones that had paid attention to the Lord and what he had told them, they fled Jerusalem. And the opportunity closed up. And after that opportunity closed up, Romans destroyed Jerusalem. Not like Babylon had done. Not like they had done. From what I've read, the general took his position there at on the Mount of Olives where Jesus prayed. And from that point, he had an elevated position where he could see the destruction. And they destroyed the temple. Not just destroyed the temple, just like Jesus said, they took and knocked every stone down. There wasn't one laid on another one. And let me tell you something, that wasn't good enough. That wasn't good enough, because what they did to the Lord, they come in and they plowed the ground where the temple had built. Plowed it. The temple's never been rebuilt, and I don't believe it ever will be. The Muslim mosque sits there today on that site. You're not going to worship here. You worship you know not what. This is Jesus still speaking. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And that is a true statement. Not the physical Jews, the spiritual Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Jesus setting up his little church down here, you see, and it's a spiritual kingdom. They was looking for him to take and restore the glory of the nation of Israel, but he restored the glory of the Father in picking and setting into place the church kingdom, let me just tell you. And not only that, he is building the bride for his son. He is. One pace at a time, he's building the New Jerusalem. One pace at a time. One soul at a time. One soul not only being saved, but then joining the church kingdom by baptism, let me just tell you. The world, there's one, I just had somebody come over to church not long ago when I got done preaching, and she come up to me and she said, "I believe when you get saved, you're in the kingdom." And I said, "Well, we just don't agree. We just don't agree." Let me just tell you, if you want to be in the church kingdom, you got to join the church. And it's a spiritual kingdom. It's not a physical kingdom like Israel had been. Israel had carried the gospel for hundreds of years. But when Jesus set his church up, she's carried the gospel ever since then. That's the reason Jerusalem was destroyed. It wasn't needed anymore. It was just like Moses. Whenever his time was up, God took and buried him. And nobody knows where he's at. Why? They were to worship Moses if he'd have left his body for them to have in here. And said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let me just tell you, sinner friend, you better pay attention to what the Lord is saying in your heart. In your heart. The woman said unto him, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." Let me tell you something. Somebody tell her about Jesus. Somebody told her about Jesus. They had told her about him. That's what she's telling here. And it says, Jesus said unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." Real close to what he said at Paul on the road to Damascus when he was Saul, let me just tell you. She's standing before the Messiah here. And I believe that's where she gets saved, let me just tell you. Because from this, his disciples come back and she scatters off back into Samaria. And she tells the story about what happened to her here. Disciples come back and he says, they asked him, "You want meat?" And he said, "I have meat to eat that you know not of it." As you say, he had converted this one woman here, and she's going back, and there's fixing to be a crowd there. Fixing to be a crowd. Senator Friend, let me ask you this. This woman come and found living water here. My scripture I started with says here, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I want you to think about this tonight. Are you thirsty? Think about being thirsty. Can you look at your mom and daddy and tell when they're thirsty? Can you look at your mom and daddy and tell when they're hungry? No. How do you know when you're hungry? How do you know when you're thirsty? You feel it. You feel it. That's what you're feeling when you're lost. You're thirsty from a spiritual standpoint. There's something in there that's thirsty. There's something in there that's hungry. You never experienced it before. The Lord, whenever you become lost, the Lord's just waking you up to spiritual things. And he wakes you up thirsty and hungry. The only place you're going to be able to take and feel that is at Jesus' feet. Let me just tell you. This is a field no-so salvation. You know it. You know when you're in trouble because you're hungry and thirsty. You're spiritually starving to death, let me just tell you. And when you come to the Lord and you give everything up and you surrender and he saves your soul, you're going to get a drink of that living water. How do you know today when you got enough water? You feel when you're full, don't you? How do you know when you've eaten enough? You feel when you're full. People out there, just like that song you kids sing here, you sing about it and you say that you know that you've got it because you feel it. I can't get the words right. People, that song talks about what I'm talking about tonight. This book up here, 4,500 years of the Lord came. How did God deal with people? He spoke to them. Amen. They felt his presence. You can look at the different things. Moses wanted to see his glory. When Moses saw his glory, when he passed by, they had to put a veil over his face because his face glowed. Let me just tell you, whenever you children, the Lord gets close to you and you stand up and testify, let me tell you something, your face glows. Let me just tell you a little bit. And your friends, like Brother Jeff said, need to see that every once in a while. And if you're here and you're doubting, if something's happened to you or something didn't happen to you, if you've got that feeling on the inside and it's still there, you haven't had a drink of that living water yet. When you get a drink, you'll know it because you'll be satisfied. You may worry. I did as a child, 13 years old. I worried if that was it. It was a serious thing. It still is a serious thing. But let me tell you something. Whenever you get that, you remember it. It won't pass away in your mind with time. There's something happened there that you've never experienced before, and whenever that happened, you keep going back to that spot. You had trouble. Something's wrong inside. And when the Lord gives you a drink of that spiritual water, you'll be satisfied. I'm telling you, I know it's scary. I was there. Because you see, to me, if I stepped in the utility room and told my mom and I didn't have it, I was felt like it, the devil kept telling me, it'll be over. Nobody pray for you anymore. When you get saved, he swaps places. He'll tell you, just sit there. Oh, you just sit there. This service will be over. They'll probably close the revival and that'll be it. And you know what? If we do and you don't do anything, you'll go home still lost. Still hungry and thirsty. And you see, until that gets filled in your heart, that void's going to be there. It's going to be there. Let me tell you where that water comes from. You see, I use the water. And look, you can use it in several different ways, and I believe be right. Over here in Revelation in the 22nd chapter, this is what John saw as Jesus showed him this stuff, and it said, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. You know that river's still flowing tonight? It's still flowing tonight. You've seen it all this past week. You've seen it. It's flowing out of the throne of God all the way down here and into the hearts of the children of God. And every once in a while this week, their cup is overrunneth and they've shouted and sing the praises of God and testified and different stuff. Even last night to these young people here and that flowed out. But you know what's happening? The ones of you are lost. It's flowing down to you tonight and it's just running off because you're rejecting it. If you'll just come to God, he'll give you a drink of that and that void will be filled and you'll get satisfaction, let me just tell you. But you got to see, you can't get it. Jesus has got to give it to you. You got to come to him. You can't get it any other way. It doesn't matter how many things you promise him. It doesn't matter how many times you come and pray. That's not what matters. What matters is you got to surrender. Only way I can get it is for Jesus to have mercy on you tonight. Come to him the way you are. You're a helpless, hopeless sinner. As I said, tried, convicted, and sentenced, and waiting for the sentence to be carried out. But Jesus can come down tonight and pardon you and give you a drink and you'll never thirst again. And it'll be in you a well water. Bring it up into everlasting life. You'll be able to go one day after a while, we're going to go to heaven and we're going to see that river of life, that love of God flowing down from the throne there, flowing down to us as the children of God. We're going to be able to go there and see that. And if you'll read that, there's about the trees the trees leaving out there on both sides of that river. It don't matter where you come from. No matter what direction you come from, when you get there, you're going to see the river of life. And there's trees on both sides for you. I don't care where you're at, said a friend tonight. You just need to come to Jesus. I don't have anything else to offer you. I haven't had anything else to offer you all week. It's all about him. It's not about me. I want to lift him up. I want to lift him up. I got a couple. I got one place I need to read here. I'll be done. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. A drink of living water. It's about him. You got to believe in him. You got to believe that he can do it for you. Because let me tell you, he can. You believe us? How many testimonies have you heard this week? How many testimonies? What did they tell you? There's something they were holding on to and they let go of it. Sister last night, it was her mama. She was holding on to. Let go. I've heard of little boys and girls holding on to a puppy or holding on to a toy tractor, all kinds of stuff. You gotta let go. You gotta let go. You gotta want Jesus more than life itself. And it says here in the 16th verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He's the door. He's the shepherd. And he's like Brother Jeff, I believe, said, he's coming looking for the one lost sheep tonight. Are you that lost sheep? Do you want to drink of that living water tonight? Do you want it more than anything else? If you don't want it, you see, you're not going to get it. Because, see, God sets a high standard for who gets it. Because of what his Son had to endure to be able to pay the price for it. A high standard. Nothing else. You can't hold on to nothing else. You got to let go of all that stuff. And come. And you can get a drink of that water tonight. Listen to what he's telling you in your heart. Do you have that hunger and thirst tonight? Won't you come get a drink? Come get a drink. Let go of everything. Let go of everything and the Lord will fill your soul tonight. And you'll know about it. You'll know about it because you'll know when it happens. Because it's going to go from empty to full just like that. Why don't we stand and sing?